Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the first opening lines from the epistle in Hebrews, it says, "Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he, the priest, himself is subject to weakness." Now, as regards that weakness, our human weakness, a while back I heard of a pastor who, after saying the words of institution for Holy Communion, stepped down from the chancel, stood in front of the congregation, and said, "I can't do this anymore. I just don't believe all that I said is true, and I can't pretend that I trust in it. It's just too hard to believe and trust. I can't pretend to have a faith I don't have. I'm leaving." And that pastor walked out that door of the church service that morning, and no one in the congregation ever heard from him again. That's a true story. True story. Be pretty earth-shaking for that congregation. To have their pastor priest, their under-shepherd, the one who they trusted to lead them in understanding the Word of God, to watch him simply divorce himself from faith, from belief, and from trust, right in front of their eyes. That sort of thing, that sort of unfaithfulness, is what God seems to be talking about in the Old Testament lesson today. Listen again, verses 31 and 32. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." That part about "they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them." That is why what that ex-pastor did reminded me of this reading. He simply walked out on the promises of God. He left the covenant God had made with him through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He left the God who had promised to be a spouse to him. It was as though he divorced God. Jesus said in response to a question in Matthew 19 that Moses allowed divorce, and why? Jesus said it was because of the hardness of men's hearts. Because of the hardness of men's hearts, God, through Moses, allowed divorce. And then that brings us back to what God is saying in the Old Testament lesson today. The promise that God makes there in that lesson, the promise of a new covenant, in some ways can almost sound like a divorce of sorts with Israel because of the hard-heartedness, the unfaithfulness of the people of Israel in their not keeping the covenant with God. But it's not a true divorce because, as God said, the time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So unlike a final divorce decree, what we see here is the promise of marital reconciliation. It's reconciliation by God with the unfaithful one, with Israel and Judah. But the basis of that reconciliation does not depend on the actions of Israel, but on the actions of God. It's on God alone to fulfill his promise. The basis of reconciliation with God is in God's promise right in these verses. Remember that the old covenant was a set of promises between Israel and God. God kept his part, but Israel didn't keep her part. In fact, she didn't keep her part over and over and over and over and over. And as you read, over and over again. So God let her go her own way, as he still does with everyone who rejects his promises. Again, just like that pastor rejected God in our opening story. God's promises are seen in the work of Jesus Christ. That's what we talked about with the children. Jesus is himself the promised new covenant. And this new covenant is based on the righteousness of Jesus' faithfulness and his obedience. Obedience even to death on the cross. His death. His death paid for the unfaithfulness of all mankind for all time, because he was and is God. As he said in the gospel lesson, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. His death is the ransom that brought about the reconciliation with God. That's not limited just to Israel, but as God promised, with all people everywhere. God says in verse 34 in the Old Testament lesson today, they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. God's promise of reconciliation with his unfaithful bride, Israel, extends beyond Israel to all who trust now in the name of Jesus and what he did in dying on the cross and rising to new life again. It extends even to those who, like that minister we talked about, walk away from it. God's promise of reconciliation does not and has never changed. Look again at the lesson from Hebrews today. It says there in verse 9, he, Jesus, became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus is the new covenant. Now, what words of Jesus do I repeat when we have communion and I'm consecrating the wine? I say, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. That is what fulfills the promise of God in the Old Testament lesson from today. It's Jesus' words. It's Jesus' actions. The new promise is not about a nation of believers, but about believers in every nation. The new promise is not about a nation of believers, but about believers in every nation. Before, with the covenant with Israel, they were to be the blessing of God to the nations of the world by showing faithfulness to God's promises. God's promise has always been that of salvation through trust in God's forgiveness. That's essential. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, that promise was made clear and plain and understandable. Jesus spoke of it in the gospel lesson in the earlier verses, in verses 33 and 34, where he says, we are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed into the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Here is how God reconciles the world to himself. And here is how he delivers on the promise of forgiveness. Here it is made plain for each person to see and to witness to. It's now. Now it's for each person to no longer reject God and to trust in the Son of Man, in Jesus Christ. God does not love us as one big glob of humanity. He loves each one of us individually. In His eyes, there will never be anyone like you with your fingerprints, your hair and eye color, your unique personality, your voice, your thoughts, with your soul. Before, in the Old Covenant, God demanded that the nation trust Him and follow Him, and so show the world that trust in God's grace was sufficient to reconcile each person with God. But now the Holy Spirit is poured out through the proclamation of Holy Scripture. And it's done so to each individual person. And so works trust in God's Christ, regardless of the nation to which you belong. What was the sign of the Old Covenant? What? Circumcision, right. But circumcision did not show your individuality. Rather, it showed that you belonged to the group who trusted in God. It showed you were of the nation of believers. But now, in the New Covenant, the sign is the circumcision of the heart. St. Paul tells us that in Romans 2. It's the circumcision of the heart that's the mark of trust in the promises of God. What Christ did on the cross provides that mark in each of our hearts. The cross is the way of reconciliation with God the Father for those who trust in the one who died on that cross, Jesus Christ. He is the marriage counselor, if you will. Jesus has brought about the needed reconciliation between God and His beloved, His creation. Remember, Jesus said He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And the ransom, that is Christ's life, serves for all who trust in Him and the reconciliation that He alone has won. Before, with the Old Covenant, it was the nation that God said was unfaithful. It was the nation that did not keep the covenant. Now, through the blood of Christ, each person becomes the nation of Israel. Every person is called by the Holy Spirit to be a person of faith and to simply receive God's promise delivered through the all-sufficient blood of Jesus Christ alone. When God said, "I will make a new covenant," what changed was not His way of forgiveness. It's always been through the promise of a Redeemer. In Jesus Christ and through His blood, that promise is now and forever fulfilled. And the reconciliation that God promised has been won, completed, finished. The covenant now is with each person. Jesus has made God's promise an individual thing. Again, it's not about a nation of believers, but it's about believers in every nation. That's you and me. By His work, by Christ's work and forgiveness, we are completed, reconciled to God. We are, each individual one of us, changed by that work and by that blood of Jesus alone. In His name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of